We now continue with our sermon for today. Let us rise then for the reading of our sermon text. Peace and every blessing to you all through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider the word of the Lord, which comes from Romans chapter 8 and was the basis for our vacation Bible school. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word. You may be seated. In Jesus' name, whose life and death reveals the love of God, dear fellow redeemed. In the wake of the tragic shootings in Colorado, CNN offered a blog in which readers could comment on the question, where was God in Aurora? One of the writers summarized those comments into seven categories, which included, there is no God. Don't blame God, blame us. God was behind the massacre, and it was just. God was present at the massacre, but with the victims and not the perpetrator. And who knows? It's a mystery. This has been an ongoing discussion between theologians and philosophers throughout the centuries. How can a loving God, who is almighty, allow such evil to happen in this world? So many of the responses, though, were centered around what a person thought was most reasonable, what made the most sense. And it all was gathered around whether or not God prevents or allows evil, and therein we find God's will. So they supposed. All based on things we see with our eyes, and nothing based on what God has revealed in his word. This week in Vacation Bible School, I posed the following statement for the students to evaluate. If things are going well in my life, God must love me. If things are going wrong, that means I have done something wrong. Almost immediately, they responded false, because they understood and recognized that we don't discover God's purpose for us by looking to these external, visible events in our lives. They recited in their Bible verse, from verse 28 of our text, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. God's will is good. As creatures of habit, to some degree or another, we order our lives around plans. What am I going to be when I grow up? What am I going to be when I get done with college? Where am I going to go this week? What's my vacation plans? Or where am I going to go when I leave church today? Yet we can walk right out the door of this church and have a tree fall on us, and that would be the end of all our plans. The life of Joseph was no different. Full of changing plans. Notice tracking back even to his grandfather Isaac, who who planned to give the inheritance to Esau. But who did it go to? It went to Jacob. Jacob likewise loved Joseph more than all his other brothers. And yet Joseph was taken away from him. Reuben told the brothers not to kill Joseph, but throw him into a pit, and he planned to come back later and rescue him. But where was Joseph when he got there? Gone. The brothers planned to kill Joseph, and yet what did God work? Promoted him to the second most powerful ruler in Egypt. Though everything around us might be shifting sand, we stand on the solid foundation which never changes, that we know that all things work together for good. And as it says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Joseph was taken through adversity and temptation as he was brought to blessings, to forgive, and to the final victory. Yet as Joseph sat in that pit before he was sold into slavery and looked up to the bottleneck opening, wondering, thinking that he would never see that world again, how could he imagine that God's will was good? Through all this, God, in his scripture, revealed a glimpse of the good purpose he had, just a twinkling of what he had in store when he rescued Jesus and used Joseph to accomplish a divine rescue mission. And yet that rescue mission was more than just 11 brothers and a father. It was to encompass the whole world because God had promised that he would visit them after they became slaves in Egypt and that he would bring them back to the land of Canaan and that through the line of Jacob, he would bring forth a savior to save the world from sin. This was the final victory that Joseph looked to. Verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So even if Joseph was left for dead in that pit, he still had this to cling to. Even if he was killed in the prison in Egypt, or even if he sat in that movie theater in Aurora, and was shot to death, he still had this final victory. The forgiveness of sins and everlasting life cannot be taken away by whatever evil would be carried out in this world. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness? We look down to verse 38, not even death or life can separate us from the love of Christ. Our plans change, however, for better or for worse. However, has God revealed his good purpose in your life? Will you become a ruler in Egypt? All around us, we see tragedy. And yet, notice where our text points us for this answer. Verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God's will is most certainly good. But we're never going to know this by going to the wisest philosophers or to the most learned theologians, or consulting our logical reason. It's only going to be revealed by God's gift of faith, as he tells us in the Bible, by looking to his goodwill in Jesus' life. Adam and Eve turning towards sin rather than God was perhaps the greatest change of plans in this world, the greatest tragedy. And how did God respond? What was his plan? What was his course? God set a course to save the world, a course for the cross. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, prayed, "Your will be done," in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, who indeed knew what God's plan was, still prayed for God's will to be done, even though he knew it meant he was going to be taken captive and carried to the cross. And so he appeared to many who rejected him as just a weak, abused, hanging criminal as they suppressed an uprising. So he was mocked by the leaders. He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ. Again, we see the will of God not revealed in what we see with our eyes, but in knowing that this crucified man was the Son of God and that it was the payment for our sin. God's will is good. For our ongoing sins and what we've seen, our visible failures, we deserve not just a slap on the wrist. We deserve not just to be seated in that theater with all those people, but Scripture says we deserve hell for our sins. But notice what God has done. With all our sins, like those brothers of jealousy, of envy, of hatred, God has performed something we don't see with our eyes, the forgiveness of sins, something we believe as God brings it to us. Verse 33, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also give us all things?" God's good will is revealed in Jesus' life. The will of God revealed in external events in this world has often been described as a tapestry. And so I shared this with the children too. As we look at the back of this picture, what do we see? Do we see a full composition of some work of art? The kids were able to identify some shapes, stars perhaps, a circle. Someone was even able to identify a shepherd. And yet, they couldn't see the full concept that was trying to come through. We too stand beneath the bottom of this tapestry that God is weaving, so that it can only be seen from him who stitches it in heaven. And yet, God promises that when we get to heaven, we're going to see it from above. And we're going to see the full work of art that God has crafted in this world. But yet, while still in this world, the externals are only a vague mess. Tragedy, loss, death, the result of the curse of sin. And so we turn to this great masterpiece that God has worked in our life. Through adversity, through temptation, God is bringing you in your life to his good will. And what is his will? We read of it in our confession of faith, that God's will is to stop every evil plan of this world, the plans of the devil, of the world, and of our flesh. And how does he do this? He does it in the preaching of the gospel. The preaching which declares God's will sure and certain. The resurrection, a sure hope for every one of you, beyond the things we see with this, with our eyes. So we also, verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, who declares you righteous for his sake. Who responds, "You meant it for evil, but I worked it for good." We have gone from slaves to kings. Through tribulation, distress, persecution, God's will has brought that good in our lives. The wonderful work woven from heaven in Christ. Where was God in Aurora? He was on the cross, dying for the sins of those who weren't at the movie theater, of those who were seated in the movie theater but not suffered any loss, of those who were shot in the movie theater, and yes, even for the perpetrator. Christ carried his sins too. Therefore, in the love of Christ only do we know that all things work together for good. As it says in John 6, "This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." God's will is good. Let us pray, "Your will be done." Amen.